welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, hello, my friends. What is up? How are you? Hope you're enjoying your summer. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. Here we are, just doing our best, right? Being human, living our lives, left foot, right foot, breathe. So today I am going to bring you another amazing iteration of our community Q&A. And I love it because we are just humans walking this work. Some people come to the Q&A in the best of spirits and they just want to talk about their successes. They just want to say, I can't believe how different my life is. Some people want to say, I'm new to this and I'm struggling or I'm curious or I need, you know, to understand more. And some people want to say, oh my God, I was riding high. I was doing this work. My symptoms were almost completely gone. And now I'm in a flare and I need some renewed inspiration or understanding, or I need more tools to soothe my nervous system and get myself back into rest and repair. And we're here for it all. I love having a community. I love the Q&A. I love being with you guys. And just remember that everything you need to learn about this work is available at our website. Go to yourbreakawake.com or nicolesachs.com. You can join our community. You can take our courses. You can just be home. You can arrive home at a place where you know that you can reclaim yourself and decide what you want your possibilities to be. All right, guys, sending you big love. Hope today is a good day. And if it isn't, I hope that we bring you a little bit of peace. And just to remind you, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you could hop over to iTunes and rate and review it, it helps people like you find the podcast. And everyone needs this. Everyone needs to take back their power and to know how much control they have over their physical and emotional health. Sending you guys lots of love. Enjoy.
Okay, Christine, you're up.
I have a question about aging.
Okay.
I know that it's not a given that we get achy as we age, and many elders are in great shape and active, but there seems to be some truth to the impact of aging on how our body feels. So how, you're not the one to ask because you're much younger than me.
I mean, you know, thoughts on it. You could say that, but I'm 52 and I will tell you a lot of people my age say things all the time like, oh, well, ever since I'm 45, you know, I'm not going to get on the floor because I'll never get up again. Like, you know, so that's actually a trope that is not uncommon. Here's what I'm going to say about it. Aging is inevitable, but our attitude toward aging is our choice. And as I mentioned sometimes on this podcast, my mother is 84. And has been tempted over the years often to believe the hype about, you know, her one part of her body or this or that. And I just say to her, I said, okay, listen, if you have a problem, you get checked out, you obviously take it seriously, but otherwise, you know, and when you have little aches and pains, let's just always be trying and experiment on ourselves, you know, wear it loosely, consider what could be bothering you, consider how much energy you want to give it. And every time she does it, whatever it is goes away. And she's vibrant and driving, and she lives on the second floor of her condo, and she walks up and down those stairs every day. So I think it's really about not buying into the hype and knowing that each thing that goes on in our body is its own thing and can be held with compassion and also taken seriously. You know, there's absolutely nothing that I think shouldn't get checked out if that's something that, you know, you feel you're concerned about. But other than that, I never, ever like buy into something where people are like, oh, well, everyone that age does that. Or, you know, once you get to a certain age, of course you can't, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a personal decision. But living like that has created incredible freedom for me, even though 52 is super young. And I agree, there are definitely things that could have gotten me by now. And they don't. So that's the best I got.
Okay. Thank you. And that's exactly what I expected you would say.
Thank you, Christine. Okay. Lindsay, you're up.
So I'm new to your group, but I'm
Welcome.
not new. Thank you. I'm not new at all to like this work. I've done like a lot of things over the last years, to name a few, probably what everyone has done. And I guess I'm just wondering or hoping for a little encouragement of when someone's been doing a lot of this work for many years and have what I thought put a lot of effort in, and maybe that's my problem is I'm putting too much effort in. I think I'm just feeling like a little defeated. And I'm finding myself like really starting to question, like, oh, am I really that person that this isn't going to work for, which I think a lot of us go through. Because I've been doing a lot of I feel like I've been doing a lot of the work. I have a lot of good understanding of where my sensations come from and this and that. And but some I just feel like I'm not moving forward, or maybe I'm not having patience, or there's fear or something. I don't know. I just feel like I'm a little stuck.
So, Lindsay, you say you're new to our group this month.
I'm new to your group, not new to you, but new to your group.
That
I've been
matters. That matters. And that's why
okay.
I'm asking. Because you know what? A lot of us, sort of toil in obscurity with this work, to kind of doing it when we can and not feeling really part of something. That's the reason why I'm such a huge proponent of community. Because what you're going to find when you come to the community Zoom, which is going to be in a couple weeks, it is so powerful to be in community. It is so easy to get lost in just doing the work. And I'm not saying doing the work on one's own is not effective. It is, and a lot of people have that. But it's like there's no one size fits all for this. And it is easy. It's easy to get defeated in anything. First of all, if you are struggling, and so it always makes us the energy is a little desperate, right? It's urgent. I want to feel better. And then if you are what I like to say, comparing your insides to other people's outsides, right? So like you know how you're feeling, and then you look around the world and you're just like, well, everyone else seems to be fine, or she's just like me and she's thriving, or that person on the Journal Speak page said they started the work when I did and they're all better. It's so easy to get yourself so caught up. So what I would say is allow your membership in this group to be a hard reset. So don't judge or don't celebrate anything that happened in the past. Just know that what happened brought you exactly to this moment today and be here with us. Be here with us, connect with us, go on to the online community and ask your questions. This is such a beautiful, supportive place. Let them support you. And then check in with yourself and see how it feels when you really dedicate yourself to the work. We also have the 28-day challenge, which we'll be talking about on the page and which we talk about at our community Zoom, where you can just become accountable and do this work with others. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you think to not be alone in it. So just kind of calm into that moment, into that middle of that. And I think that, because here's another thing. The nervous system is seeking safety. That's it. As soon as your nervous system receives an actual robust message of safety, all the symptoms stop firing. So know that there are a lot of ingredients that lead to that. I'm so happy you're with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Jennifer, you're up.
Great, thank you. So this is a question and maybe sort of an observation. I may just need some assurance, I'm not sure. So I am doing so much better with the physical stuff. I mean, I still have flares, but overall, I don't get so scared. But one thing that it has been around for a while, but it feels like it's even more heightened now, or maybe two things. I have a really intense, heightened sense of smell and hearing, and every little weird smell or odd sound in the house, it's not, I mean, it's like you say, the reflexive response when you step off the curb and your body brings you back. It's like my body is just automatically giving me that anxiety, and it you know, as I said, some things are getting better, but this puts me into that like fight or flight immediately. And I'm having a hard time regulating, I guess. And I feel like, of course, that fills up my reservoir and puts me in that place where it makes it harder for other stuff to be better. I don't know if that's a
common thing. It is a common thing because so many people with the personality type to get a lot of TMS are people who are, let's say it in a nice way, because I say it about myself, you know, wound tightly.
Oh, yes.
And I see all their smiling, nodding faces. So here's what I'll say. Welcome to me. Okay, this is what I say to my son all the time when he's like, but I'm like this, but I'm like that. I'm like, yeah, I've been raising you for 19 years. You've always been like that. So what I say to him is, welcome to me. We don't need to have judgment. We don't need to be like, I wish I was some other way. I mean, we can be that way, but that's a waste of time because it's just going to cause more angst. So I am exactly like that. Lisa makes fun of me all the time. Literally, like a pin drops and I hit the ceiling. And I really think there's a part of it that's childhood, you know, a little tea trauma, but it's really honestly, I think it's just how I'm wired. And there are also huge benefits. I'm so observant. I'm so able to assess something quickly. I can read other people's emotions insanely well. I can read a room. I can know where I am in the conversation. And someone walks into the room and I literally scream. So I think that it's about accepting ourselves, meeting yourself where you're at. And knowing that if you don't make it wrong and add more energy and anxiety to that, oh, why am I like this? Jesus Christ, I smell everything. I hear everything. Just like, so what? Welcome to me. You know, I'm sure you enjoy the kitchen on a delicious day when something is being cooked more than the next guy. You know, so it's like, whatever it is, just wrap your proverbial arms around your little self. This is who you are. This is how you are. And what's beautiful about doing that is when you do it, the things that are hypervigilant tend to fade away because you're no longer hating on them or desperate for them to go. So kind of wear it loosely that way.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess it's just like, I hear the weird noise at night and I'm immediately like, oh my God, what's wrong? And, you know, I live by myself. And so I guess I'm not sure. I'm having a hard time calming myself down in those moments. Like, is there really something wrong? And do I need to do something? And
well, you also go by anecdotal evidence. On every night since ever, there's been nothing wrong. So right. I do the same thing for myself. So I just say, okay, welcome to me. I hear the noise and I make a thing out of it. Well, and this is really, I mean, this is unique to me, but maybe not. And you guys can choose to use it if you want. But I always say, there's only so much you can do. And if there's really someone about to come get me, then I can bend over and kiss my ass goodbye. You know, like I just don't take myself so seriously. And then somehow I'm still alive.
Well, I really appreciate hearing that you also have that sensitivity that makes me feel a lot less weird. Yeah, I mean, the hypervigilance, it's exhausting. I mean, I would like to like get a little calmer about it because it's just so fucking exhausting.
Acceptance will make you a lot calmer. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Shawnee, you're up.
Hi, everybody. I am at preschool, so if it gets a little loud in the background, that's what's going on. Nicole, I just wanted to ask if you could speak a little bit towards menopause, specifically hot flashes and night sweats. It seems to be a lot related to what I eat, and I'm trying to not have charge around all of that. And I do know how to support myself, but I'm just wondering if you feel like there's a correlation, which I feel like you probably do, between that and TMS. So if you could just speak to that, that would be really helpful.
You know, Lisa and I talk about this all the time because we are women in our 50s. So this is obviously something of the moment for us and for all of our friends. And we're really, you know, the moment I get a free moment, it's definitely going to be something that I want to turn my energy toward and really understand deeply. So what I'll tell you is what I can tell you, given the fact that I have not gone full force into this, but I have observed it in my own body and I have observed it in my friends. And the way I feel about menopause right now is the way I feel about autoimmune disease, which is I think there are elements of menopause that you can't necessarily step over. You know, women, your body's changing just like it did in adolescence. You are now moving away from your childbearing years. There are hormones involved. There are very natural human systems involved. Having said that, I am 52. I do still get my period, but the point is that I'm definitely of the age where at the very least I'm in perimenopause. I have never had one menopause symptom, not one. Not one hot flash, not one, I don't know. I don't, honestly, this is going to sound so crazy. I don't even know, other than the ones that are so cliche, what even they are. Now, I also take no hormones, nothing. So I say to Lisa, when we talk about this, could it be that I'm so nonplussed about it, that I'm so completely wearing it loosely, and it's like such a TMS equivalent for me to get all angsty about it, that I'm not having this? And this, the reason I'm speaking this way is I am so authentic about this work. I will never speak on something with authority that I don't know the actual full answer to. So right now I'm kind of like in it with you and I'm musing. But what I'm saying is, similar to autoimmune disease, like people have come to me and say, I have a diagnosis of lupus. And because I have a diagnosis of lupus, there are this subset of symptoms that I experience all the time. And it's torturing me. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. So I say, okay, this is actually a case study from many years ago. And I say, okay, I can't say I'm going to take away your lupus. I have no idea what causes those markers in your blood, but let's do the TMS work around it. And I have had several people with several different autoimmune diseases, and many, many more that are not my clients, but have written to me around the world, who have said, all right, well, on paper, I still have lupus, but it's been 6 months and I have not had a flare. So this is the way I feel about menopause. And this is kind of the way I'm going to enter into it as I start to study it with people, which is, it's inevitable that menopause will happen. Just like people who have autoimmune diseases, maybe they're genetic or maybe they're, you know, I don't know exactly why those findings come up, but I will tell you one thing. I know many people who have no symptoms. And the only question I ever ask you, and the only question I think is important, is how do you feel today? How do you feel today? You know, there, I have a diagnosis of spondylolisthesis, and if you look at my MRI, it's pretty gnarly, but how do I feel today? I feel fucking great. You know, I can run, I can lift a suitcase, I can travel and exercise. So does it actually matter that I have that finding? Not really, not to me. So this is where we are with menopause. So I actually invite you to wear it more loosely, to not think of it as a problem, to maybe embrace the beauty of the fact that we are women and that we have the precious privilege of our being able to hold children. And then it, as we age, you know, it, gently releasing that, like, I think that's the direction I want to go with it. Thank you. Thank you, Shawnee. Okay, Jade, you're up.
Hi, everyone. Hey. I have a question about food allergies. So blood tests, IgE tests, you know, positive for food allergy. As a child, I had lots of allergies, never had a food allergy. Comes my second and my third child, and all of a sudden I start noticing I'm having weird symptoms in my mouth. And I was like, okay, well, I'm no stranger to weird symptoms, so whatever. I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then I started feeling like sicker and sicker, like I was having sores all in my mouth. So the doctor's like, does a test. I have a wheat allergy, like kind of a moderately high wheat allergy that I never was aware of. And so my question is, with all the other symptoms, I believe that they're TMS and I know how to deal with those. I just keep, Nicole, I keep thinking that maybe this is TMS. So then I'll just start eating wheat. And then I'm not going to die. It's not like the life-threatening kind, but it makes me very sick. And I don't know what to do about it. Like I want, it's really hard when you have three children and to, like, you know, modify your diet. And if this is something that I can change or that's possible to change, that would be nice. But I don't know when it comes to this type of thing. I know food sensitivity is one thing, but curious about like actual like allergies.
Yeah. You know, it's a great question. It's another place similar to menopause where there is a gray area. Obviously, you know, a person who eats a peanut and goes into anaphylaxis is that's a pretty serious situation. And we're not going to ever mess with that. When it comes to these more, I'll say less severe food allergies, here's what I think. I think we need to change our mindset from eating to fulfill some rule to eating what feels good and what makes us feel good. Okay, so here is, and it's actually to me a very powerful stance for your nervous system. I can't say sitting here today whether or not wheat is the reason or the catalyst for this these sores in your mouth, because that sounds super TMS-y to me. Anything chronic in the mouth, oh my God, I've seen it over and again. However, me saying that is not going to help you, because there is an unconscious slash conscious fear in you that the allergy is causing the sores. So here's what I say. I have found that if I get up in the morning and the first thing I eat is protein, rather than I've talked about this before, rather than like a muffin or a donut or a bagel, I feel better. Now, I can eat protein first thing in the morning because it just feels better. My body feels better throughout the morning. Or I could eat protein in the morning because carbs are bad and sugar is bad and oh my God, what it does to me. And there are that's two very different reasons, right? One is the lens of love and one is the lens of fear. And because I spent so long eating protein in the morning because it made me feel good, I finally, after a while, was like, yeah, but also like sometimes you can have a bagel and like whatever. And when I started to find, lo and behold, I kind of felt the same. I kind of felt the same a couple hours later if I had the bagel, the muffin, or the eggs. And I was like, oh, maybe this was a little TMS-y. Maybe this isn't such a hard and fast thing that if I eat something, I feel a certain way. And I really sometimes think you just have to play with your system and not take it so seriously and not get so betutsed about it. Because in the end, it's like, I don't know, but I know how powerful your brain is. And if you've been told that you have this allergy, I am telling you, it is absolutely possible that the sores are now perpetuated by the fact that, oh, did I have a milligram of wheat? So I would really, similar to many of the answers I'm feeling today, clear the decks, do a hard reset, don't eat wheat for a while because, you know, you feel better when you don't have sores in your mouth. Like, just try and then like, little by slowly be like, screw it, I'll just have wheat then, and then like run away. Like, not look, I didn't really have it, you know, and like, we all need to take ourselves a little less seriously in this world. So this is what I would do to play with it. Like you said, it's not going to kill you, but I also really think that strong association with a symptom in any food is always a little sus for me.
Okay. And I just, so to take away, I'm going to microdose wheat thins and then, I forgot to add this part. This is like the first test out of 15 years of chronic pain that I've gotten like a real, like a something that showed up. Right. And so I'm also wondering how much of that is playing into it. Like, look, it's real. And then the doctor's like, well, maybe all the other weird stuff you have is from this. And it's, I think you answered my question, Nicole. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Jade. Okay. Let's see. Jennifer.
Okay, I just want to say thank you, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here. And my only regret is I should have joined sooner, your community group. But hey, here I am. I have a basic question. Like, I'm working on just making sure my foundation is good. So I wanted to ask you again, I'm sure you've heard this before, like on treatments of the body, especially with someone, but they're using an emotional lens. It's someone I've been going to since the symptoms started. I feel like he was put in my life for a reason. He's kind of kept put me on this path. I never would have found the mind body path. I would be stuck in the medical system somewhere. So, he's taking care of me. I trust him. And in the beginning, I didn't believe any of this stuff. It took me well over a year. He kept saying, look at your emotions, look at your emotions. They're causing your pain. And I was like, no, 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 no. I didn't want to hear it. But then I came into curable groups, your work. And I started to believe, and now I'm seeing the proof. I discuss all this with him. I discuss journal speak, and he's actually said he's learned a lot from me and watching me. So, you know, and he makes me feel safe and heard and seen. And we agree he's treating me for wellness, mm-hmm. But I just want to make sure, like, you know, I wanted to run this over with you, like what you had to think about this, you know.
You know, I think everything, like you said, is through the lens of love and fear. And if you go into any relationship, partnership, support, with like, this is great. Wow. It feels good to me. It feels like I am you know, working toward my highest good, or I am partnered with someone, or I am getting the support I need, it honestly doesn't matter what you do. The only place I draw the line is opioids and benzos. And it's just because, and I know those aren't people, those are drugs, but anything that's going to cause you to be so dulled, so high, so sedated or addicted to something, that's where I say, I don't know. For me personally, if I'm the one carrying the message, I don't know if that can be done through the lens of love. I don't know. And that's just so where I step out. But other than that, I think anything you do, you just decide for yourself. And if your attitude sounds perfect to me.
Okay. Thank you.
So happy to have you with us, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lisa, you're up.
Hi, everyone. So happy to be here with everybody. Thank you, Nicole, for everything that you do. And a couple of things I wanted to say. I've been actually doing much better, and I've been doing journal speak kind of since the beginning of the year, and I've been really so happy. And I wanted to share, because we're talking about food stuff a little bit, I wanted just to share that I started in reintroducing, after 15 years, gluten and dairy. And it's been going totally well. I have not been having any issues. So I've just been like so happy to kind of have that relaxation and that those new foods in my life. So I can really appreciate what you're saying about autoimmunes, because I have autoimmune disease, but I don't have symptoms. So I have not been having any flares. So that's been really good. But I do have one question. And it's about journal speak, and it's about, and I don't know, hopefully you'll have a comment you can make about this, because there's not exactly an answer, but in journal speak, I find that, you know, bringing up all of these emotions about other people in my life, and a lot of anger and a lot of just negative feelings, and how, you know, we can kind of journal speak in our head after we've been doing it a lot. But so I feel like I have all these negative emotions in my head, a lot about other people in my life, and especially people that I love. And so it's just very uncomfortable feeling like, sometimes I feel like I'm a very uncompassionate person, or I'm a bad friend, because I know I have the personality characteristic of being a pleaser. So it's new for me to have a lot of these feelings just going all the time, kind of a running commentary in my brain. And I almost don't know what to do with them, because I can feel like if people knew what I was thinking, they would I don't know what, but maybe not want to be my friend or something.
With all of us. Okay. Same with all of us who are telling the truth and are not carrying it in our bodies. So here is what I want to say to you, Lisa. You have two choices, and not you, every one of us has two choices. One is to be able to find some way to tell the truth, because the truth exists within you. And two is that you fucking carry it all yourself. You don't tell the truth, so all the weight, all the sweat, all the toil, all the suffering is in your body, and it's not cool and it's not fair. So, you know, people are irritating, and people are selfish, and people have hurt us, and people are also great and wonderful. And a lot of times all of those things exist within the same people. And that is conflict, and conflict causes a lot of TMS. So here's what I'll say, two things. One, that, which is, you don't deserve to carry this alone. So if you have to have this kind of running commentary, do not judge yourself for it. Similar to what I said to Jennifer, welcome to me. And guess what? Welcome to everyone. You know, I was working with someone the other day, just in a conversation, and he said, I'm a terrible person because when I feel like I'm not doing well, I actually don't wish well to others. And I sent him a link to the Avenue Q, if anyone's ever seen this show, link to the song Schadenfreude, which is this hilarious, I encourage everyone to look it up. It's a silly Broadway show where people speak as Muppets, but there's this song called Schadenfreude, which is a German word for something like delight at the suffering of others. And it's just such a hilarious, like, we are all like this, okay? It's the human condition. Everybody is the same. And so that's, first of all, not judging yourself. But here's a beautiful thing that I'm really going to be highlighting in this month's community call when we talk about radical acceptance. We're revisiting radical acceptance because it's so powerful, and everyone's been asking for it. What happens once you complain enough in your head, in your journal speak, about the people with whom you share your life? You get to the point where you're like, oh, this person's so impossible. And there she is. And here we are, and this is my person, or this is my mother, or this is my sister, or this is my kid, or this is my coworker, or this is my boss. And here we are. And there is a piece that comes where you're not a bad person for being irritated, and they're not a bad person for being irritating. We just find this place where it's like, here we fucking are. And it's not always easy, and it's not always fixable, and it's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? In the person that you find all these negatives, I promise you, you find positives too. Because if you didn't, you'd be like,
right.
People do. They draw boundaries with their own families. They do everything they need to do when there is no upside. And so when there is some upside, what we do is we vent and we vent and we vent, and then we reach this point of acceptance. And then actually, you can really interact with people and it brings a lot of joy, because you're not constantly angry at yourself for not getting your needs met because you're not expressing yourself. Because you express it somewhere. You express it in your journal speak. You express it in your mind. You come here. You know, this is a very safe space, whether it be on our written group in Facebook or when we're in community call, you guys break up into groups to be like, if I have to listen to my sister say this one more time, be with us and be human, and welcome to you.
Thank you. So that's very helpful.
So welcome. All right, Courtney.
Hi, everyone. I'm back in the group after a couple months.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I need this. I'm just feeling really overwhelmed, I guess, is how I am. I'm struggling with feeling like I'm still looking for the answer or like the root of everything. I'm still like, I get it. I get all of it. But then sometimes I feel stuck with all my different diagnoses over the years, you know, the PTSD, the OCD, the PMDD, the chronic migraines, the IBS, and then all the other weird things that come, you know, in between that, a weird ankle thing, a weird whatever, you know how it is, everybody. So I just feel like my brain is still really searching incessantly for like, well, if I have OCD, then that means that, you know, my brain is constantly going to be scanning for, you know, sensations, and I'm always going to find something. And, you know, I've tried to like go through the route of, okay, if I need to do the loving kind thing for myself, I'll try medication, see if that helps. But I also don't want to get stuck back in the medical spin, you know, where I just feel unhinged and now I'm just a bucket of symptoms again. And it's just been really wavy. It's been up and down. I've gone through periods where I'm feeling better and I was driving for a while, and then I stopped driving because I just got too overwhelmed with my pain and my anxiety, and I don't know how to stop trying to fix all the things. Like, I'm struggling with the indifference. I'm struggling with the just letting things be.
Yeah, I completely hear you, honey. And I think that what you're saying is such a common sort of like a cycle that we get into when a lot is overwhelming. And it's like, you do care if you feel better. You know, difference is really, really difficult. So here is what I'll say. And everybody is just walking right into my trap of, you know, this month's community call, because it's going to help you all so much. Here's the deal with radical acceptance. Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. So right now, let's just say, Courtney, it hurts pretty bad. It hurts pretty bad to be scanning all the time and worrying all the time and thinking about your symptoms and stopping driving. It hurts pretty bad. So at some point you say, you know what? It hurts worse to live this way. So now I'm going to hear what Nicole's saying about radical acceptance. And radical acceptance is very similar when we were just talking earlier about the little noises that are in your house at night. There's only so many times you can get up and investigate. So right now, let's liken the way you're living to getting up and investigating. Okay. So every time you hear a sound, you get up and investigate. And then there's the other side of it, which is me laying in bed going, well, if this is what's coming for me, oh, well, come on, come murder me, you know, whatever it is. And just saying, I don't have the energy. I cannot get up one more time to walk around my house and make sure no one's here. So I guess it is what it is. Come get me. And within that surrender, as insane as it sounds, peace washes over me and I fall asleep. And the next day I wake up alive. And so, and I'm not suggesting this is like a real problem for me, but I've had these moments and I understand. It's a metaphor for what a lot of us go through in life. How much energy are we going to give to the checking of it all, to the continual hamster wheel of it all, until we say life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse? And actually, I'm starting to understand what I need to do to practice radical acceptance. And that is a beautiful space to be, because when you actually arrive there, and it comes in moments, but every moment you feel it, it is such an immense relief, because it's like, however this goes, it's okay for me. And so that might not land for you in this moment where your headspace is at, but just know it's available to you. And that's the work that we're going to be doing together this month.
Yeah. And also, like, I try to keep like redoing what I did before to when I was like better. And that's also a trap too, because there was no formula. I eased up and there was some element of safety that, for whatever reason, I don't feel is available to me right now. I can't figure that out, but I don't want to. I just want to be like,
exactly. The thing with radical acceptance is it's like a shortcut. Like you can pretend that there's point A and point B, and then you could take a huge long path, or you could just go from point A to point B. Radical acceptance, it's like the best cheat ever. You're just like, okay, I'm not going to figure all that out. I'm just going to say, here I am, and hold yourself with love and compassion and be with a group and know that you're accepted and know that you're surrounded by all this support and be like, okay, here we are. Welcome to me. Welcome to me is the theme of this call.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Courtney. Okay, Carrie, you're up.
Hi, everyone. So I am still having horrible pain, pelvic pain. And I've been doing the work, and yesterday was better. Today I'm in horrible pain. And my question is, my pain isn't that bad, I can do the practice of looking at it and just kind of being like, okay, there it is. I'm just going to keep going on with my day. But when it gets super intense, I just get so overwhelmed and exhausted, and it terrifies me. It's like, I can't, and because I have pelvic pain, the problem is it's not going to get better until those muscles decide to relax. And so every time I have more pain, you know, it's not helping things.
Okay. So Carrie, I want to challenge a little bit of what's going on in your brain, because you need a hard reset. You really do. And so what you were saying was that, you know, that every time you have pain, what the muscles need to do is they need to relax. And you're like, and every time I'm in a huge flare of pain, that's not helping things. So what I'm hearing in that is a belief and a fear that the tension of the muscles when you're in pain is causing you to have more trouble releasing that tension. And that's actually not true. The moment you feel or your nervous system can receive that message of safety, all muscles, everything is a function of this fight or flight posture. When you're in rest and repair, everything stops. There's not an aggregate problem that has to do with, oh, I constricted for this long and now I'm not going to be able to let go. It's actually scientifically not true. So when you think about the best way to always explain this in terms of like understanding, because it's so impersonal, is think about a herd of gazelle at the watering hole. You know, the lion comes through and everybody is super tense, ready to run. The moment the lion leaves the savannah, everybody shakes it off and they don't even run. They go back to the watering hole, because as beings, as mammals, we are not actually continually stressed beyond the fight or flight response. You could be pain-free, Carrie, tomorrow, enduringly. Now, I'm not saying, and you, I don't want you to think like, oh, Nicole, what am I failing? It's not that. I'm just saying you need to understand that. You need that very solid understanding that there's nothing about this flare that is negatively keeping your pain around. It is just somehow, and I think the reason is you had such a powerful turnaround, Carrie, that you were so excited and you were so joyful. Like, you're like, I'm done now. I'm going to be better. And that's a very challenging place because people are so happy and excited. And I don't want to take that from you. But the nervous system does not enjoy this. It just wants an even keel. But you're right where you need to be. Stick with us. It's okay. You know, like, I think that you tend, not you, but people tend to get so worried and fearful. And then, of course, it's very difficult not to get into that negative cycle of thinking. But I'm just telling you that you're going to be okay. You were okay yesterday or more okay. You know, and so because of that, you know, it's TMS. And another thing I want to say to everybody here. Yes, journal speak. Yes, meditation. Yes, everything I teach, everything we talk about on these calls, and whatever you can do to soothe yourself. You know, look around. What is there that you could literally do to make yourself feel soothed, and do it and feel the difference in your body because you're banking that experience? Thank you, Carrie. Melina, you're next.
Hi, thank you for being here again. I wanted to ask you about urgency, and I feel like I'm falling into the trap of the theme of this month, but I have an important decision coming up, and essentially I was accepted into a program last year. I tried to start that program and was heavily encouraged to defer after the dean was witnessing my symptoms and this whole thing that happened. So as it draws closer to this time where I need to make a decision, do I go for this or do I not? Like, I just find myself heartbroken and very entwined with this sense of urgency because I want to pursue my life stream. I want to do this thing. But at the same time, right now, today, I know I'm not well enough to do it. And I just am like, oh, because I'm so urgent, it feels like I'll never get there if I keep this mindset. So I just wanted to hear what you had to offer on that.
You know, I hear you loud and clear. I'll just tell you what I do in my own life when situations like that come up. I get really quiet and I say, where's my intuition barometer? Is the arrow pointing at yes or is the arrow pointing at no? And honestly, almost every single time I get a clear answer. And it's okay. If the arrow points at no today, honey, then that's where the arrow points. And it's for a reason. This is where I get a little spiritual. And I think to myself, not everything is meant to be done right now. And every person you meet, this is a Ram Dass quote, is God in drag, is somebody or something or a message or anything that's telling you, you know, go in one direction or go in another. So I can't answer your question other than to say within you, you know the answer. And if the answer is simply, I am just not well enough to do this right now, then that's the right answer. And it will make itself clear why it was the right answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marguerite.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, everyone. Hi. Thank you for all you do. I just, every time I come on these calls, I'm just continually feel so grateful. And yeah. So my question is one that I've probably asked or someone has asked, and you might even answered it already today, but I think my brain still sort of needs to hear it again, which is, so I'm doing much better in general, just to say, so that is wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I did strain my hamstring a week and a half ago. And that triggered anxiety, which is what tends to happen if I injure myself, because I have all this fear about going back to like being injured and not being able to do all the things I love. Plus I'm scheduled to go to visit my sister in Portland next week. And travel has been something that I've felt like I couldn't do the last couple years. So, the question is, in that moment, and I have things that I'm doing, but I wanted to ask you as well, is like, in that moment, there's pain or injury and the anxiety flares, or I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm worried, like, what in that moment would you tell me to do?
Yes. Well, what I will tell you to do is, you're right. I've answered it. I mean, I'm just trying to think if there's anything I need to add. It's all about trying to wear it loosely. It's all about saying, I have a choice here. I'm going to notice it. So similar to meditation, when we notice a sensation and then we let it go, that is what we're doing here. We're noticing and we're letting it go. We're noticing and we're letting it go. And in the noticing, there's tremendous compassion because there's no judgment. There's just, I see. You know, I did a podcast once and I was talking about anxiety in the night, I believe. And I said, instead of getting, you know, up in the night and be like, oh my God, I'm insomniac. I go, wow, it's so interesting. I'm having an experience of human anxiety. Well, this is how it feels. It makes my heart beat. It makes my mouth dry, you know, like, and just instead of making it a problem, just noticing the sensations. So that's, I think, a really good plan for you.
Okay. I like that. Thank you. And I've been telling myself a lot lately, wear it loosely. Like I hear yes. you that, and that's helped me a lot too, but thank you for that.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. Terry.
Where I'm having issues is when, I think this is very similar to Marley, when I'm noticing little like hints of, oh, your lower back, it's right here, or hi, your neck, tap, tap, tap. How the hell do I ignore that? It's impossible to ignore. And I find myself fixating on it and constantly checking in. Still there. Yep, still there. So I realize this is all a theme of everything else. And right, welcome to me. Here I am. But
I'm going to give you the same advice, Terry, that I just gave 1 second ago to Marguerite. We're going to treat these symptoms. Let's all do that. We're going to practice this month. We treat our symptoms as we do thoughts and meditation that are unnecessary and not helpful, like the grocery list or, you know, whatever it is that ends up popping into our heads. You notice it, you hold it sweetly for a moment, and then you release it. And that is what we're going to do, because I agree. You can't, anything you push away comes roaring back. So you can't say, I'm not going to think about it. You say, oh, back twinge. I notice you. I see you, baby. Like, I want to talk you to talk to yourself, for us all to talk to ourselves in that kind way you would talk to a child who you can see is really just struggling, who just really needs a tiny bit of attention. But you know, if you give the child too much attention, you're feeding into the problem. So I see you, honey. I know that you're hurting. It's okay. Let's move on. And that is what we're going to do with our symptoms, because it is not about pushing them away, but it's also not about romancing them and then going on an afternoon date with them. So it's a balance. And then you put that in concert with self-soothing behaviors and things that make the day really, really as pleasant as possible. And then you just say, welcome to me. And then you just do your best, because here we are. Can't really move away from you. Wherever you go, there you are.
Indeed.
Wow, we really do have a theme today. Thank you, Terry. Camilla, let's see if you can carry it on.
All right. Well, I'm dealing with like two kind of big things right now that are really capturing my attention. The first, I don't know if you've talked about this too much, Nicole, but I've got this really horrible like upper GI pain, and then like mid-thoracic pain. It's like it's in my chest and it kind of wraps around towards my back, and then like my stomach is upset, but it happens like in my sleep and also like first thing when I wake up, and then as I kind of like move around throughout the day, it'll either get better or it'll linger, or sometimes it'll go away completely and I'm like, okay, like this is probably TMS, but like when it's bad, and it's like very, very disruptive first thing in the morning. And I'm kind of like, how do I get myself to relax and be in rest and repair when I'm like asleep and like totally unconscious, right? Like it's hard for me to wrap my head around that.
So I just want you to understand, because a lot of people ask me about sleep and I've had it myself. Everything is cumulative. So if you're doing the work and if you're being in the right mindset, it'll just go away. So meaning like, it's not, you don't have to do anything. Like I think the pressure people say, well, how am I supposed to affect this? It's happening in my sleep. You don't have to affect this. You don't have to affect any of this. In fact, the nervous system, as soon as it receives a message of safety and it's not fighting anymore to repress your emotional reservoir, the pain signals stop firing. So you, all of you, don't have to do anything to change your body. You just do the work and you stay centered and you stay in your lane, and then the symptoms will stop firing. So just all that to say, it's 1 billion% TMS. not only have I heard about these very similar symptoms by other people, and I feel like in many ways I've experienced them myself, there's nothing to question about something like this. You know, when people are saying menopause, when people are saying certain autoimmune, when people are saying food allergy, I have to walk the line because there are places in there that I am not sure. But with what you're saying, random unexplained, like shooting pain, sharp pain, wrapping pain, only when I sleep, only when I exercise, only when I drive the car, only when I blah, blah, blah. It's so DMS-y. It's like, I want you to just say, hi, when it's there in the morning and it's awful. Hey, bud, looks like we hang out in the morning. That sucks for me, but you're welcome to me. What can I do? I want everything to be looser. I want everything to be more playful. I want everything to be more accepting, because that is what finally gets the message to the nervous system. I see. Well, it's not working because she's not getting all wrapped around her, you know, her axle. She's saying, hey, bud, what's up? And that's what I want for all of you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Camilla.
Thank
Joanna, you. You're up.
Hi, I'm so happy I could finally make one of these. It's been like 6 months. I have a question that I did bring up yesterday in our sort of 28-day challenge group. But so my pain has migrated to these super severe migraines, and I'm not sure they're migraines because so far they have not responded to, you know, migraine specific related treatment. I am doing journal speak on the daily, have been for many, many months. And I don't know what to do because, I mean, whether or not they're tension headaches or migraines, at the end of the day, I know you would argue it doesn't really matter. It's still TMS and whatever we call it, we call it. But they are completely taking over my life. And I really, really, really have been making every effort to not only wear it loosely and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me? I hear you. Thank you for protecting me. You're working so hard. I really appreciate you. And then, you know, the occasional fuck you swear you put in there somewhere, because let's be real. And then I've also been, you know, really journal speaking on the nightly. I don't know what else to do, and I don't know where else to go. And I just, do you have any insight?
You know, yeah. What's really great about knowing you, what's great about knowing you, Joanna, and this is such a benefit of being a leader of this group, co-leader of this group, is that I get to see you, and I get to see the way you've ebbed and flowed, and the way you've been in such distress and also really seen relief, and the way you've become a leader at the 28-day challenge. Like, I'm telling you right now, the most important thing I'm hearing is, I don't know if they're migraines, I don't know if they're tension headaches. They're a stomach ache. They're a knee pain. They're a bout of insomnia. They're nothing. They're a signal from your brain. I beg of you to stop giving them any sort of power as a thing or trying to figure out what they are. There is no medication that will be the end all be all for any of our symptoms. And so you can take it. You can take it like a vitamin. It's totally fine to take whatever it is that you feel comfortable taking, but you cannot take it as curative, because this is all coming from one place, which is the brain science behind it. And because it isn't unique to what it is, because it could just as easily be a tennis elbow, you have to say, okay, here we are. Everything you guys are saying speaks so deeply to the work we're about to do with the radical acceptance, because guys, we don't have a choice. This is the thing. We don't have a choice. Your nervous system is protecting you. You don't get to keep your hand on the hot stove. Nobody can. You could have the most resolve in the world. I mean, maybe like some, you know, real Zen master could like hold the hand on the hot stove until your skin burns off. Most of us can't. Your nervous system will protect you regardless of your intention. And so it's just about saying, here I am. And I know that right now in this moment, that sounds impossible. But when you start practicing radical acceptance, you start really dropping into it, it actually not only becomes possible, it becomes an enormous relief. So just kind of sit with what I'm saying and know that that is going to be a really great practice for you. And even if you've heard it before, a revisit and a recommitment to it is something that will help. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. A couple more. Katie.
I wanted to ask how I'm feeling great. Like, things are really good overall. I'm doing so much better and I'm reintegrating back into life, and things are crazy. Either they're crazy with illness or they're crazy in life, and I can do the choice of what hurts and what hurts worse. And I just want to ask about you and how you cope with feeling like a chicken running around with your head cut off. And like, do you feel peace? How do you ground yourself? How are you? I know you have book deadlines and run a busy life.
You know what? It's a great question. It's the graduate level work. So Katie, for all of you guys who don't know her, because if you're new to the group, she's been with us, maybe even since the beginning. Have you been with us since the beginning?
I think I was the first Facebook post.
Yeah. Oh my God, Katie Hansen, yeah. I love you. So Katie has been with us since the beginning. She was really suffering. She has been through emotional stuff, you know, in terms of family stuff. You've been through personal stuff. She's been through symptom after symptom, and she's freaking thriving and doing so great. And I'm so proud of you, Katie. And also, she's living a human life, which is sometimes shit is hard, and sometimes you get a headache, and sometimes you're annoyed by everyone, and blah, and blah, and blah, right? You're living a human life. And here's what I will say. I do it all. I have tantrums when I need to have tantrums, both inappropriately to others and in my journal speak, because I forgive myself. I practice denial, meaning like sometimes when it's too much, I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. I just won't get to that. And then like, I find myself the next afternoon getting to it. I take breaks. I make time for myself. I am unapologetically boundaried. And I was almost going to say unapologetically selfish, but it's not selfish. I truly say to people, I know that's what you want from me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'll be back to you next week, and we'll see if it still works out. Like, I am kind, but I am firm, and I'm just a work in progress, and I'm just taking it as it comes. And also, similar to what I just said about no, my inner barometer being a yes or a no, I'm hugely respectful of that. And so when I have a decision to make and I'm being pressured by the world, by other people, by my children, by anyone to say, this is what you should do, I get really quiet and I say, what does it feel like? Does it feel like a yes or a no? And it feels like a no, then I have to practice all my bravery in going back to that person and saying, I'm really sorry, because I know this is not what you want to hear from me. That is not going to work. And sometimes I explain myself if it's appropriate and polite. And sometimes I say, I'm sorry, it's a no. So these are things we work on in this group. These are things we work on in this life. But that's the thing. You don't get out of here alive. Either your pain will hold space for it, or life will be lifey. Like, you don't, there is no perfection. And why? Because we are here to live. We are here to live and be bold and be in our lives and feel presence and passion and connection and huge feelings, whether they be good or bad. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your question. I love it. All right, we're going to finish up with Lucy.
Oh, good. I have had, in February, back pain, and it only lasted probably about 10 days, which I was so relaxed knowing it was TMS. Now, I've had over 2 months, right sort of hip pain, back, right cheek pain, and I'm trying to wear it loosely. I did go to the chiro for my monthly visit, and he thinks sort of no big deal. I still have the pain. And my question is, do I just give it another month, see what happens? I do believe in that nervous system trying to protect us. I didn't do anything to injure that part of my body. So that's, to me, that sort of TMS, but it's gone on for quite a while.
Yep. Well, just like we talk about the nervous system, it's not going to stop protecting you because it's gone on quite a while, right? In fact, if it's working in whatever way, meaning you're looking at it, you're worrying about it, you're thinking about it, you're checking on it, mm-hmm. it will stay longer because the nervous system is an unemotional part of your system. It either thinks you're safe or it thinks you aren't. It is not going to sit and say, look at nuance. So when we give a lot of attention to our symptoms, it's working. Think about it. Think about it so simply. I'm going to bring up Gigi's analogy again. Your symptoms, Lucy, so whatever hip, whatever's happening for you, is the fire alarm, right? The fire alarm, and it's turning and it's turning and it's getting your attention because that's what a fire alarm does. Mm-hmm. So the firefighters have arrived and they are dousing the alarm with their hoses. And that's what happens every time we're paying attention and checking our symptoms. It's like we're watching all of these really hot guys standing here. I'm just being cliche. Standing here, holding the hose and watching it douse the alarm. But what do we really need to do? We need to stop looking at the alarm. It's just a distraction. And we have to turn around. We have to tell them, no, 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 the fire is over here. And that's the emotional world. That's the frustration. That's the desire to be well. That's the urgency. It's over here. That's where the hose goes. And so what we do is we forgive ourselves for being distracted by the alarm, because who wouldn't be distracted by the alarm? It's loud. It's red. It's blaring. We see it. But when you know, when you deeply know that no matter how much water is getting on the alarm, it's never putting out the fire, and the fire is the reason that the alarm is getting set off in the first place, we turn the hose, we put it toward the fire. When we get distracted by the alarm, we forgive ourselves and we go, okay, no, I got it. Back over here. Okay, I got it. Back over here. Back to compassion. And it's just a process. So the one thing I'm going to amend from what you said, Lucy, is I don't want you to give it a month. I want you to give it a lifetime and give it nothing at all. I want you to say, oh, well, here we are. This today it's the hip, tomorrow it could be the head, next week it could be the stomach, so be it. I'm here to live a human life. Sometimes you feel things in your heart and sometimes you feel things in your body. They are interchangeable. So don't monitor as every, now I'm speaking to everyone, as much as possible.
Yeah.
Stay centered and stick with us and do the work.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a fantastic call. Thank you guys all for being with us today. Thank you for being with each other. Thank you for the incredible energy and support you always bring. Thank you for sharing your stories and your questions today on the podcast, because that helps so many people. And until next week for the podcast, this has been Nicole Sachs with my entire beautiful Cure for Chronic Pain membership community. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.